Time to be great. Time to be great.
All football, all the time.
Here we go, boys. Here we go.
You're listening to The Best Football Show.
About to be a movie.
Hosted by Brian Baldinger and Nick Kostos.
Let's go.
Best Football Show, episode numero dos, Friday before week one, NFL Sunday. Nick Kostos and Brian Baldinger. Very pleased to be here once again with my friend Baldy. Baldy, how we doing two games into the 2026 season?
I'm ecstatic, honestly. Like, you know, the 49ers came to play, and the jet lag affected the Rams. I don't care what anybody says. And, you know, Seattle, with a backup quarterback and overcome some sloppy play, that defense is still for real. I mean, we're learning a lot about these teams already, just one game into the season. We're going to do the same thing here. We're not going to overreact. We're not going to do that kind of stuff. It's very early, but, you know, you can see that, you know, some teams are just ready to play right now, and you know what they're going to be.
And we saw that in Melbourne, certainly with the San Francisco 49ers. So on this episode, we'll recap the Seahawks 13-10 win over the Patriots on Wednesday night, the Niners smashing the Rams in Australia 27-7, and preview every game on the docket coming up week one NFL Sunday. And our plan is going to be, once we are into next week and it's a regular week, once we're past Labor Day and week one, tapings Monday, Tuesday, and Friday coming your way on the Best Football Show. Subscribe to the show if you haven't already, and you can watch the show on YouTube as well. But Baldy, with without further ado, let's begin with what we saw last night with the Niners really taking it to the Rams 27-7. Was that game for you and the result more about San Francisco, Baldy, or more about the Rams and why?
I think it's more about San Francisco because the question marks around the 49ers all offseason was, is Kittle, Bosa, Dre Greenlaw, you know, like, are these guys – Mike Evans, are these guys going to be healthy and ready to go? Because nobody knew. And very few of them played. But they are a veteran team. They're tough. They're salty. They know how to play the game. Mike Evans, like, he had three third down conversions in the opening drive, went down for a field goal. He beat Trent McDuffie. He beat Jalen Watson. He beat McDuffie, Watson for a touchdown. And Brock Purdy was outstanding. And they ran the ball very good. They won the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. Kalon Black looked like he's going to be a nice little addition to this offense. You know, McCaffrey was still very good. The Rams gave him their best shot defensively, but they had a game plan for Myles Garrett. I mean, it starts with Trent Williams just being completely on his game. But when he went to the other side, they helped out McKivitz. You know, they chipped against Myles. Myles had no effect on this game at all. And, you know, maybe Aaron Donald, you know, coming back next week against the Giants. And I would anticipate him to be ready for that game. Things will change. But I said from the very beginning, I favored the 49ers in this game because they did the right approach. They went early. They got adjusted. This idea that you're going to step off the plane and go to the stadium and play, it was so far-fetched to me. Just because I've been through that so many times, to Japan, to Asia, to Australia. Like, the jet lag is real. And I thought it would affect. They looked sluggish. Stafford was sluggish. Myles Garrett looked like he never woke up. So, but I think it's more about the 49ers because you can see that Fred is back, that Mike Evans is still a beast, that, you know, Trent Williams is still an elite player. Like, all these question marks, they look pretty good.
How much of it do you ascribe to the jet lag? Because I'll tell you, I said this on You Better earlier today. On the Stafford, which was a ridiculous play call, in my opinion, at least, the quarterback sneak on the fourth and goal. When Stafford gets stuffed, the camera goes to Sean McVay. He looked like me, like my junior year of college, showing up at 8:30 in the morning for like a math test after, you know, hitting the gravity bong and drinking 15 beers. Like, you could see it on their faces, Baldy. They looked exhausted. How much do you think was actually the jet lag?
I think there's a big part of it, Nick. I really do. Like, it doesn't take much in this business to go from the precision you need in all phases of the game to not executing very well. Now, as soon as I saw the quarterback sneak, I said to myself, how many times has Stafford ever quarterback sneak? I guess evidently last year he did it twice. But he looks like, first of all, he took a big false step. He's on one leg. They got no push. The 49ers were underneath him just from a leverage standpoint. Grayson Halton, Fred Warner, like, they all won their matchups up front. But that, you know, that if you convert that play, it's a 17-14 game, and the Rams just complete a 14-play, 7 or 12-play, 72-yard drive, and it's a 17-14 game, maybe it's a completely different game. But, you know, when you get that, that takes a lot of air out. You go 12 plays, 72 yards, and you come away with no points, and you give the ball back to the 49ers. That was another turnover. So, and they already had the interception and the fumble. So that three possessions, you basically gave the ball back to the 49ers. But to your point, I thought this thing would play out very much like it did. I have not seen Stafford play that poorly. You know, I don't know the last time. And I think, look, he's 38 years old. The age isn't a factor, but it's just hard to be precise. Where was Devontae Adams in the game? Like, he was invisible. You know, so, like, outside of throwing a Puka, like, it didn't look good at all last night.
Now, I we don't want to overreact here, right? That's not what the show is supposed to be. I do want to bring up a red flag that I had about this Rams offense coming into the year that manifested a little bit last night. I don't think they have. I don't even think it's a point of debate. Like, this offense does not have a lot of speed. And once you get past Puka, and this is not to say that Devontae Baldy is still not a good receiver, but, like, lest we forget, the Rams did try to trade for A.J. Brown this offseason. Mm-hmm. So assuming Devontae has lost a step, and he can still be really good even despite having lost a step, Puka's a stud, obviously. Now we get into, and I don't mean this disrespectfully to them, Jordan Whittington and Kanata Mumfield. And I thought we would see more Terrence Ferguson last night. A goose egg for Terrence Ferguson. Kind of like, where were the tight ends? Now, the run game is going to be awesome. We expect a better performance from Stafford moving forward. Puka's still great. I kind of think this offense has got some concerns. Do you share those concerns, or is that an overreaction?
I mean, it's the same offense that we saw last year, the same guys. And so you could say, you know, the speed was lacking a year ago for the most part. So I don't have that type of concern, because I just think Stafford can put the ball wherever he wants to put it, whenever he has to put it, when he's fresh and rested and all that kind of stuff. So I don't share the same concerns. They did dress four tight ends last night. Ferguson wasn't a part of it. I saw him on the sideline, but, you know, they have the ability to game plan with the best of them. I'm just not going to overreact and say that speed is a big concern at this point for me.
Level of concern for you with the LA Rams, 1 to 10, 10 being most concerned, 1 being least after the loss last night.
Oh, I think look, we can debate about their travel plans, but I also think they were looking to play the long game as well. So they come back and play the Giants this week at home. So they come back on 9 days rest. Like, they haven't been gone but 48 hours max. Like, I feel like part of it was not just to get ready game day, but for the long game, coming back this week and getting 9 days rest and only being gone and out of your home and out of your comfort zone for a total of 48 hours. I think that was a part of it. I think they're going to be bouncing back pretty good.
The Rams schedule over the next four games: home against the Giants week two at SoFi, Monday Night Football, then at Denver, at the Philadelphia Eagles, who, Baldy, you know, the audience knows, the Eagles have been the Rams' bugaboo over the last however many years, and then home against the Buffalo Bills. So not an easy stretch coming up for the Rams, 0-1 start to the season. Let's put a bow on last night's game, Baldy, just with a general thought on the San Francisco 49ers. Now, I'm not saying this is your opinion, but I think a lot of people kind of felt coming into the year like the NFC West was the Rams or the Seahawks. And then it was, well, will the Niners make the playoffs? Last night, to me, felt like a statement from San Fran. The Niners were my Super Bowl pick prior to the season. Where are you at right now on the Niners as far as balance of power in the NFC? I know it's very early, but I would imagine the Niners changed some people's minds with the performance last night.
I mean, they're a well-coached team. Kyle knows what he's doing. Like, you can't write them off, but you're asking a lot of older players to go 17 games and get to January. Now, maybe Kalon Black could take a lot of reps away from Christian McCaffrey. Maybe Mike Evans, you know, play 17 games. You saw Stribling go down last night. You saw Tongas go down last night. A leg whip on Myles Garrett. I don't know how bad the heel is or the Achilles or whatever. But, you know, they lost two young players last night that couldn't finish the game. Like, they just, you know, and the defensive line is thin to begin with, losing Alfred Collins during a week. So, do they have enough to survive if some of these players that they're counting on go down for any period of time?
They definitely need to get DeJuan Stribling back at some point. Going to be a very important piece for this Niners offense this season. All right. Wednesday night, Seahawks beat the Patriots 13-10. I described it. And yeah, there's a little bit of sports radio in this, but I also think it's true. That's a 10 out of 10 loss for the Patriots. Like, as bad as it gets.
Yes.
Injury to insult with AJ Brown placed on IR earlier on Friday. He'll miss at least the next four games. Coming out of that game for the New England Patriots, Baldy, your thoughts on the 0-1 Mike Vrabel led team?
Well, it was disappointing to watch Drake May. All of his interceptions were bad, but the last one with 26 seconds to go, like on the play, Will Campbell and Morgan Moses both cut block the edge defenders. You know, so DeMarcus Lawrence is the edge defender over Morgan Moses. All he wants to do is get the hands down so they can throw this out route to Hunter Henry against Jordan Love for a first down and get out of bounds. That's the play design. It's clear as day. The only reason why an offensive tackle cut blocks at the line of scrimmage is because they just want the hands down so the pass can be completed. And for whatever reason, Drake makes a poor decision, and then he's under duress, and he throws the ball up, and he gets picked off. Like, that's at the very worst, you're kicking a field goal and you're going to overtime. That's what I anticipated. And just to lose like that, you just got to wonder, like, what – like, Drake May is a better player than that. He makes better decisions than that. But you saw where Romeo Doubs was awful in the game, the bad drop on third, like on the sidelines. But now they're counting on AJ to be number one and Romeo to be number two. And now you're wondering, what is there? Is it Pop Douglas, Romeo? Like, it doesn't look very, it doesn't look like they have the ability to attack very much.
They need Travion Henderson desperately back, right, to give some juice in the backfield. And don't they have to start playing Kyle Williams, last year's rookie receiver? We saw in the preseason, I get it's the preseason, but he's a legitimate deep threat. And I think they're going to need that, Baldy, in the absence of A.J. Brown for at least the next four games.
Well, he caught three touchdown passes in three games in preseason. He ran by every corner. And they weren't all just, no names out there. There were some guys that played in this league, have played, and he ran right by him. I was surprised that we didn't really see anything about him in that game. Like, he's got great speed. He did last year. He averaged over 20 yards a catch on the few catches he had. Like, I expect to start seeing him lined up out there and to see some shots taken down the field to him.
When Sam got hurt early in the game, Baldy, it kind of felt to me, and I'm not inside Mike Vrabel's head, I don't know him at all, but just the way that he coached the game moving forward from there, it kind of felt to me, Baldy, like this was a redo of the AFC Championship game, which they won, obviously, on the road in Denver, where you're facing a backup quarterback, going to manage the game. They won that game 10-7. It felt to me like Mike Vrabel was trying to win the game 10-0, 10-3, 10-7. Did you have any issue with that?
Very aggressive.
Did you have an issue with it? Did you think they were too conservative with the game plan?
I think he thought his defense against the backup quarterback, was going to keep doing what they did. They got the one play to Jaxon Smith-Njigba on fourth down. Great play call by Brian Fleury. But it was the one play all game where the secondary broke down. I mean, those guys, Marcus Jones, Carlton Davis,
Christian Gonzalez was awesome in this game.
All of them were awesome. Just awesome. Gonzo should have had an interception in the game. The easy part was catching that ball in the out. He read it perfectly. They are very talented. The one play they broke down on was on fourth and one, and nobody covered Jaxon Smith-Njigba. And you just saw what he did on that play. I mean, it changed the whole game. But if you play, to your point, kind of not to lose and to just, just keep putting our defense out there, when you got a player like Jaxon Smith-Njigba, he can change the game. He tied it up in that spot.
And Woodson and Byard, both with like Matador defense and the secondary there for the Patriots, as JSN outruns both of them. So, Baldy, a lot of the talk last year, whether right, wrong, or indifferent, I think there's probably some right and some wrong with it, was that the Patriots' trip to the Super Bowl was the product of an easy schedule. And I'm not looking to relitigate that conversation from last year. No matter what happens this year, no one's going to say that the Patriots are the product of an easy schedule. So right now they're 0-1 and a terrible loss, blowing a double-digit lead to a backup quarterback, even if the Seahawks are good. Now on deck, and we'll see what happens this weekend with the teams that play, home to the Pittsburgh Steelers, at the Buffalo Bills, at the Jacksonville Jaguars. What do you think the Patriots' record is going to be following week four? 0-1 right now, those three games on deck.
Well, it's just too hard to project, four months from now. But I don't believe they'll win 13 games this year. They're not going to be that type of a team. Like, they're going to be in a lot of dogfights. Defensively, they have talent. We got to see. Like, we saw some things from Gabe Akers They need, you know, the edge rushers, Draymond Jones. They need these guys to be good. And I don't know what they are yet, but their secondary is very, very good. They could do a lot of different things because of what they have back there. But look, you know, the offensively, you know, 10 points is going to win a lot of games for you. So they got to figure out a way to kind of open things up a little bit more, you know, as they kind of go forward. But like, I just thought even like the interception by Julian Love in the middle of the field, the seam route to Pop Douglas, like, honestly, Julian Love sitting there in a half field safety with nothing to do. Like, there's nothing holding him on that side of the, that's why he started cheating to the middle of the field. Like, there was nothing. It's like, so from a play design, if you're just going to go half field reads, you know, for your quarterback, it's going to make, in this league where basically two safeties are deep every play for every team, like, you better give that other safety something to really look at and pay attention to. Otherwise, you're going to get what Julian Love just did. Smart safeties like that, Kevin Byard, Julian Love, the smart guys in this league, they're just looking to go pick you. And that's what Julian Love did on that play.
Last note on the Seahawks and Patriots. We know Mike McDonald is, you know, maybe the best coach in the league, maybe the best defensive coach in the league. Awesome defensive game. No Nicky Minwori, no Ty Okada, only allow 10 points to the New England Patriots. You mentioned a name, and I want you just to talk a little bit more about him and his performance in this in week one. New offensive coordinator Brian Fleury for the Seahawks, who comes over spending a lot of time in San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan. Clint Kubiak's obviously now the head coach of the Raiders, and people had questions. What's this offense going to look like with Clint Kubiak now in Las Vegas? How do you think Brian Fleury did in his first game as the play caller for Seattle?
I thought he was very good. There was a lot of formations that he hadn't seen from Clint Kubiak. You know, unbalanced line. Some things like that. Jadarian Price, probably going to earn quite a few more touches. You see the explosive speed of him and just how he glides. I think that the throw or the play, I'm not sure if the offense broke down on the fourth one play, on the play to Jackson Smith and Jigba, but it's a good design. You got two backs going the same direction. It took the Patriots off their game. Jackson Smith and Jigba is open and free. But just the little things and the details in their offense, watching A.J. Barner come in motion and time up the double teams on the edge with the tackles, whether it's Big Egg Lucas or Charles Cross, like, that's not easily done. That takes work to time that stuff up. And A.J. Barner was awesome. Brady Russell, awesome. Those guys in tandem, it reminds you of Kittle and Juice in San Francisco. Like, that's, and that's where Fleury came from. So you see the same type of movement and double teams and at point of attack blocking that we saw from San Francisco. And that's the position that he coached in San Francisco, was the tight ends. And so I saw a lot of the carryover in the two-back set that you see. In fact, I might do a breakdown on it, how it's similar, it looks in style. But it's one thing to sort of imitate it. It's another thing to execute it. And that's what I saw. That means they're getting a lot done in practice.
And even if you're a football fan like me and you don't watch the film and know the intricacies like Baldy does, you can watch the Niners run game and really appreciate it, even if you don't fully understand what's happening because there's so much going on. If this is what the Seahawks have here, man, like, if you're a Seahawks fan, you just won the Super Bowl, you got great news on your quarterback who might only miss one game, and it's against the Arizona Cardinals. They should be able to win that game with Drew Lock. Everything's coming up Seahawks right now. I'm just saying, if Brian Fleury's going to be that moving forward, calling plays.
One last thing about Fleury. Like, he was asked throughout the preseason, is he going to be upstairs or downstairs? He said he wanted to be downstairs. He wanted communication with his quarterback, receivers, and I believe in that myself too. The other thing is, when they put the camera on him, he has that ability to take the emotion out of the game. Like, you know, you put up a goose egg in the first half. Like, some guys are going to be stressing. That guy's emotion, and what it says is, it's very much like Mike McDonald too. Like, they have a belief in what they're doing. They've got to get to it. You've got to get to the plays, stay on the field long enough, stop committing penalties that put them in a lot of negative situations on offense. But I like the demeanor of Brian Fleury calling the game.
And just like, I like his look with the shaved head and the beard. Looks like he should be like ripping Marlboro Reds and like drinking some beers. I like that from Brian Fleury. I'll just say, on behalf of fantasy football players, more Jadarian Price, please, because he looked really, really good in that game.
Drink up, baby. Fantasy Football Happy Hour is here to get you wins and have some laughs. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. We're diving into the tape, we're crunching the numbers to bring you sleepers, busts, weekly starts, and advice. Whether you're defending a title or desperately avoiding last place, I've got you covered every single weekday. The bar is open. It's Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, wherever you get your podcasts.
We can now turn our attention, Balti, to week one NFL Sunday. Are you ready, my friend?
I'm ready, buddy. Come on.
All right. So we're gonna go down the board. We will get to the game that you'll be on the national call of, which is the Eagles and the Commies, as we move along. But let's start with the early slate, 1 o'clock on the East Coast. And let's begin in the Music City. Some are calling this the Robert Saleh revenge game. Yep. And I don't know if it's Saleh revenge on the Jets or the Jets revenge on Saleh. Betting market has this game basically as a pick'em, Baldy. Geno Smith back under center for the Jets. Cam Ward looking for a better sophomore season. Brian Daboll now calling the plays. Titans and Jets, what are you looking for in this game?
Well, I mean, Saleh came to Tennessee, and he already had the best defensive tackle in football in Jeffrey Simmons. And all they did was build up their defensive front. They used draft picks, Keldrick Falk. They used free agency to go get Solly Thomas, John Franklin Myers. They made the trade to get Jermaine Johnson for Tavondre Sweat. They built his style of defense from the beginning. Now, they've got to affect Geno Smith. They've got to, really ruffle things up in the run game. Of Breece Hall and the backs that they have right there, they've got to affect Geno Smith. And so that's the first thing I'm looking at when I look at this game. This is what Saleh does. This is what he did in San Francisco, did it in Seattle, did it in New York. Get depth and really, some barracudas up front on that defensive front to get after the quarterback. And so can the Jets protect, give Geno Smith? Because really, when you look at Tennessee's offense, J.C. Latham and Dan Connor, they're not elite tackles. They're going to start a rookie at center. Like, the Jets should win this matchup in the trenches. They've got that's where they've been putting their resources, where Saleh is just beginning this process. I feel like the Jets, even with Geno Smith and all the changes they made on defense with the veteran guys they brought in, I feel like the Jets are a little bit further ahead than where Saleh is right now.
You worried about Cam Ward?
Yeah. I am worried. I did not think he played well in preseason. I like him personally. He needs to be good. He didn't have much last year at all. Rookies, tight ends, receivers, questionable offensive line, all that stuff. And he was a gunslinger. He kept him in some games. But I didn't think I saw a step up in him, his ability to see the field in preseason.
You like Brian Daboll as the play caller for this team? Is he the right play caller, you believe, before the start of the season for Cam Ward?
Look, I mean, Brian Daboll can dial up offense. He was good with Josh Allen. He was good in Alabama. He was good at times in New York. They got to the playoffs with Daniel Jones. Like, he did some good things. I think he's upstairs in his comfort zone, calling the plays from up there with the spreadsheets and all that. But I think Brian Daboll is a quality coordinator at this point.
As far as the Jets are concerned, Aaron Glenn's going to call the defense this year. I have faith that I think they're going to pick off Cam Ward and end that streak. So I think they'll get an interception coming up on Sunday. Baldy, what I've been saying about the Jets all offseason, I really like the talent on offense. I love Armand Membu. I'm sure you do as well. I like Fashanu also. The skill positions, like, they've got talent here. Mm-hmm. My concern, right, wrong, or indifferent, Frank Reich's last two stops as an offensive play caller, the final year in Indianapolis with Matt Ryan, and then half a season in Carolina, Bryce Young's rookie year, kind of like historically bad. Mm-hmm. What about Frank Reich as the play? Because they've got some horses on this Jets offense. Can Frank Reich get it out of them here? Because if he can, I think this Jets offense could be pretty good.
I have questions about it myself, Nick. I really do. My brother played with Frank up in Buffalo. I've known Frank a long, long time. But I don't feel like the formations and the motions and the shifts that you're seeing from Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan, I don't feel like that's Frank's game. He didn't come from that era. He didn't call plays like that in the places you mentioned. He didn't do it at Stanford when he was out there. I have questions about it, and I'm anxious to see if he can play. You know, when you're going up against a Flores-style defense where you're putting those eight guys up there, like, are they going to break his protections down? That's what I'm worried about more than the formations and are they going to be able to protect when teams are attacking your protections? And can Frank stay ahead of that? That's a question mark I have. I know he's got a Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles. Not that he was the biggest part of it, but he was a big part of it. I want to see if he can play chess with some of these guys out there on Sundays.
Just one word answer. Jets, you like the Jets to win the game?
I like the Jets on Sunday.
Well, I like the Jets.
And it's going to be 100 degrees. So, you know, like who survives and, you know, are guys cramping up? Like, that's going to be a factor in the game.
All right. The Chicago Bears and the Carolina Panthers. Fascinating game in Carolina where you can make the case we're going to see a lot of points in this one, especially with the Bears defense being what it is. Chicago, about a 3-point road favorite. Baldy, total of the game, 47. What about the Bears and the Panthers?
I think it's good. I think this game is going to be very close. I know Chicago probably has better talent. We got to see. I'm not sure if Roma Dunze is going, not going. I mean, Luther Burden, some of these guys are counting on. Like, I don't know who's up or who's down on Friday here before the game. Carolina's defense got a lot better. Jalen Phillips, you know, you look at, Devin Lloyd, the guys that they signed. And I believe in the defense coordinator in Carolina a great deal. They've got a very talented secondary. I think this is going to be a tough game. I think the difference is, can Chicago's defense, which led the league in interceptions, led the league in takeaways a year ago, can they get back to still playing that style of football without Byard, without Brisker, without Nashawn Wright? I'm a little bit curious to see if they get those type of takeaways like they did a year ago.
Can Bryce Young put points up on the board on this Bears defense?
He's got a good trio of receivers. The offense line, we'll see what happens at left tackle. I think maybe Rasheed Walker might go out there, but we got to see how they protect him. But he had some good moments last year where they believed in him. So I think they can score. But I think the first team to get to 20 points in this game wins the game.
So you think this is going to be a lower scoring game?
Yeah, I do.
Really? Why do you think?
Because nobody plays in preseason. And it just takes a while to find a rhythm. Stay on the field on third downs. All those kind of things. We saw Brock Purdy do it last night in the opening drive. Like, I got to see if you're going to get that. Now, I think both teams practiced the right way, scrimmaged the right way this year. When I was out at Hallis Hall this year, I was very impressed by practice. I got to see, Chicago is built around a strong running game, and both backs got banged up this preseason, both Swift and Menungai. So I want to see what they have back there right now. Rashawn Johnson, maybe. Who knows who goes?
And I want to see what this Panthers defense looks like with Jalen Phillips and Devin Lloyd coming over in free agency up against the Ben Johnson offense. Who do you like to win the game?
I'm going to take the Bears. I believe in Ben Johnson. I like the Bears to be able to pull this one out.
I think the Bears win a close game as well. All right, next up on the board, the Detroit Lions, a touchdown favorite at home against Tyler Shuck and the New Orleans Saints. So market expecting a higher scoring game, 49.5 the total. Unfortunately, Jordan Tyson beginning the year on IR for the New Orleans Saints. Baldy, I've got question marks on this Lions defense. I wouldn't be shocked if the Saints won this game outright. What say you?
I would be shocked if that happened. I mean, I know the Lions have an issue at center, losing Cade Mays, in the preseason, because that was a real weakness last year. But watching this offense in training camp, between Amon-Ra and Jameson Williams and the tight ends back healthy this year, Jared Goff running the offense, Jahmyr Gibbs, they should be. I'd be surprised if they don't score 27 points in this game. Like, I think the offense is going to be very good. I have the same questions about the defense that you do. And so I think Tyler Shuck will have some success. But I just feel like Detroit's offense will do whatever it has to do to win this game. If they have to put up 30, I think they can put up 30.
What do you make of people that are saying, Drew Petzing's the new offensive coordinator in Detroit, but there's been a lot of talk, Baldy, especially recently out of Lions camp, that this is basically Jared Goff's offense and that Goff is going to be the one. Obviously, I'm not insinuating Petzing has nothing to do with it, but Goff is going to be the one gets to the line of scrimmage and Goff's going to decide what to do. Do you buy that train of thought coming out of Detroit?
Well, they had to get rid of Johnny Morton. It wasn't good. But one thing about Drew down in Arizona, they ran the ball very well. And they run it in a variety of ways. And I think this Jahmyr Gibbs, I don't know, is he the highest paid running back in football?
And Baldy, just for context, just so you, Jahmyr Gibbs was the lock first overall pick in every fantasy draft this summer.
He's 24 years old. He's just ready to go off. Like, he might lead the league in rushing. He's not going to split the carries that he did with David Montgomery. I don't know what Isaiah Pacheco's, status is at this point with the injury he had. Or whoever the back, it doesn't really matter.
Jacob Sailors, I think, is the backup. Yeah,
Sailor was fine in the preseason. I think he's got a couple of carries in his life. But this is Jahmyr Gibbs' offense. And the more different ways you can get him the football, they've got Most teams are looking for one home run hitter on offense. They've got two. Jameson Williams, I call him the Motown Comet. Like, he can score from anywhere on the field, and Jahmyr Gibbs can score from anywhere on the field. You miss a tackle, you blow a coverage, these guys are gone. It doesn't matter if it's they both can go from 80 yards. Like, they've got two home run hitters in that lineup. And then Amon-Ra and Jared Goff, they have a chemistry and connection that most quarterbacks only dream of getting. Like, they really know each other. Like, this is, I think Drew Petzing is a good fit. And look, is it Jared Goff's offense? He knows what to do at the line of scrimmage, how to get out of a bad play. Drew's going to give him that freedom. But I think the ideas that Drew has are going to be good for this offense.
Last note on this game. We spend a lot of time collectively talking about Tyler Shuck and Kellen Moore and Chris Olave and the Saints offense. What are your expectations here in about 15 seconds for Brandon Staley and the Saints defense this year on that side of the ball?
Well, they brought back, you know, Cam Jordan, you know, and so you look at some of the guys that they have up front. You know, they should be good. They've got some depth on the defensive line. They've had to rebuild their secondary over the last few years, losing Paulson Adebo, losing Alante Taylor, losing all these guys. But, you know, they've been drafting Kool-Aid and these different players out there. They can still play pretty good football on that side of the ball. You know, it's really Tyler Shuck's team right now. They had the right pick in Kelvin Banks last year. They went out and got David Edwards. Like, they should be good on the offensive line, and he should be well protected.
And Eric McCoy, one of the best centers in the NFL. Yeah. Baldy and I both taking the Lions to win the game. Next up, Ravens and the Colts in Indianapolis. First game for Jesse Minter as the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore about a 3-point road favorite in the game. Baldy, do you see this game being close? Any credence to a potential Indianapolis upset of the Ravens in game one for Jesse Minter?
I mean, if Daniel Jones plays like he did the first 9 weeks last year, there could be. You know, his deep ball accuracy was unreal, actually. And then, you know, he started having the injuries, then he was out. But I feel like they have some questions on defense with Indianapolis. You know, they lost a great middle linebacker. They drafted one. He doesn't look ready for prime time yet. So I feel like right now, defensively, they have some real issues. And it's just difficult to game plan for Lamar Jackson. I feel like you're going to get the very best. Just watching Vivega Ioane at right guard, like, that's exactly the guy they should have drafted, and they did. I think they can get this running game cranked up, and if they do, Indianapolis is going to have a hard time stopping his offense.
Ethan Posich not ready to play yet for the Ravens. They'll be starting Jovan Gwynn at center. Any concerns there going up against DeForest Buckner, obviously a stud in the middle of the Colts defensive line?
Yeah, no, look, I mean, it's a weakness. You lose as good a center as there is in football to free agency, and, you know, what the Raiders did. It's a concern because if your offensive line isn't strong, like, you're just not going to be great. But I feel like, you know, Lamar can get them out of, you know, harm's way when you get quick pressure in his face if something like that happens.
Game one in the Declan Doyle offense for Lamar. Are you expecting this to click very quickly?
I feel like they drafted two receivers. You know, I want to see, you know, what Lane looks like out of USC. I want to see what these guys look like. Honestly, I feel like Lamar wanted a change and needed a change. And so I feel like it's a good fit for Lamar right now. He understands what's at stake after a disappointing drop-off season a year ago. I think a lot of guys in that building were happy to see Harbaugh and some of those coaches go. So I think a fresh beginning right here is good for Lamar.
Who wins the game?
I think the Ravens are a better team right now. They've been just watching Mike Green and Trey Hendrickson and some of these guys, you know, getting some of the defense linemen back healthy this year versus last year. I think they can control things pretty good up front right now defensively.
I like the Ravens as well. The Ravens, my pick to be the one seed this year in the AFC playoffs. All right, next up, and we've got some news in this game. Tua Tagovailoa will not start on Sunday for the Falcons. Oblique injury in Thursday's practice. Cooper Rush will start game one for Atlanta. Michael Penix Jr. not ready. The assumption is undrafted rookie Jack Strand's going to be the backup to Cooper Rush on Sunday in Pittsburgh against Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. Bettors have taken this up to Steelers minus six. Baldy, I mean, I think the Steelers are going to wipe the floor with them. Any reason to believe otherwise?
The Falcons have, well, look, I mean, you've got three great players on offense in Bijan, Drake London, and Kyle Pitts. I mean, those guys can change the game. And so, you know, we got to see what Pittsburgh's defense is. But I know the offense is going to be better. I know they're much better coached on the offensive line with, you know, James Campen coaching the offensive line. I know the offense is going to look better with Mike McCarthy calling plays. I think if Aaron Rodgers has an extra tick to be able to make a second read or take deep shots, because last year he was in such a rush to get rid of the football. Same thing with the Jets. Like, if you let Aaron Rodgers have any time at all, and the Falcons are minus James Pierce Jr., we know, the, you know, Jalen Walker, like, they don't have good pass rushers. Aaron Rodgers should have time to pick this team apart. And that's what I expect to happen. And I think they're going to be able to run the football. You know, Darnell Washington is a guy that just, you know, at tight end is just, I think Aaron likes him. But I think in the run game, pass game, short yardage, goal line, like, you've got a guy that changed the game at that position.
If you were Kevin Stefanski and you were rolling out Cooper Rush at quarterback this weekend, what's the game plan to try and keep this one close?
Well, I mean, you try to really establish a strong run game with Bijan, you know, and just stay after it. Just stay with the run game, melt the clock. And then, you know, as we've seen from Stefanski in Cleveland, like, he's going to play action pass you. He's going to take his shots down the field. They've got the receivers to do it. So, you know, you want Cooper. Cooper Rush knows how to play the game, because honestly, when he was backing up Dak, like, don't screw this up. You've got a pretty good team around you. Get the ball to your playmakers. He understands that part of it. He's not a dynamic player by any. He's a backup quarterback, but he's got to play big, like Drew Lock did the other day, and that would be my comparison. Can he do what Drew Lock did? It wasn't great, but they got a couple of big plays and some third down conversions, and it was enough. And that's what you kind of hope from Cooper Rush in this game.
Is the Falcons quarterback of the future currently on the roster?
No. I mean, not with the injury history to Michael Penix. Like, you saw the arm strength difference between Tua and Michael Penix.
Oh,
it's not even close. But you can't.
But Tua's way more accurate, though, to be fair, right?
Yeah, I mean, Tua's an accurate guy, led the league in completion percentage for one of his years. But, you know, just he's challenged seeing the field. He wants to get rid of the ball quickly. I don't believe the long – like, they got Tua there because it's just, you know, it's the bargain of the year, you know, getting him for the amount of money they have to pay him. He's playing for a second contract. I think the Falcons, they've only been relevant under Arthur Blank twice, when Michael Vick was in his prime and with Matt Ryan. And I don't think any of the quarterbacks close to that caliber is on the roster. So I think this is a great year for quarterbacks. I think they might be, you know, going into that well again.
Baldy and I roll with the Pittsburgh Steelers to win the game on Sunday. Next up, I can't wait to watch this potential AFC championship game preview, at least before the year. We'll see what happens when the games start, with the Houston Texans hosting Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Betting market has this game, Baldy, at basically a pick 'em. What do you see when you break down Bills and Texans? Man, this game is going to be awesome.
Well, I mean, last time we saw the Texans, obviously CJ Stroud was terrible. The offense was horrible. They made all kinds of changes. They've rebuilt the offensive line. CJ is, you know, if he wants a contract extension, he's got to improve his play. I'm anxious to see Jim Leonard and what he does to this Buffalo Bills defense. We know what it looked like under Sean McDermott. We know it was bend but don't break. We know all the players, you know, Matt Milano. We know all the people on the team. They always had a problem pressuring quarterbacks in big spots. And I'm anxious to see what Jim Leonard does with his background. He comes from the Rex Ryan school. He played for Rex. He was in Denver with Vance Joseph. Like, he knows what pressure does to quarterbacks. And I want to see what this looks like, because it's going to look different than what we're used to seeing. And so, but I feel like Josh Allen, this is a Josh Allen game. He knows Will Anderson's coming. Danielle Hunter's coming. Caden McDonald's coming. He knows what's coming at him. But nobody can escape players of that caliber better than Josh Allen. Nobody. And so I feel like this is a Josh Allen game. Like, the defense should keep him in the game, and it's up to Josh Allen to win the game, and I think that's what's going to happen.
On the flip side of the Jim Leonard conversation, I know Joe Brady, who's now the head coach, is the former play caller, right? So it's not a new person. But now that he's in charge, are you expecting the Bills' offense to look different this year with Joe Brady as the head coach than it did the last couple of years with Joe Brady as the offensive coordinator?
Well, as soon as he took over a couple of years ago, midseason, the offense changed. It was a run first offense. James Cook led the league in rushing.
When they fired Ken Dorsey after that Monday night loss to the Denver Broncos.
Yes, and it changed. You know, like it became run first. And Josh Allen was fine with it. He was fine. He got a lot fewer chances to throw it. But it was the best method for them behind a very good offense line and a good Aaron Cromer coaching it. I think the loss of Aaron Cromer is going to be a big deal. Like they got Pittsburgh Steelers offense line coach. They lost David Edwards. I don't know that they're going to be as cohesive as they have been. I just have the utmost respect for how Aaron coaches in every place he's ever been. And I think they're going to take a little step backwards up front. But I am anxious to see Joe Brady as a head coach if he has a similar type play call, which is really run first and a lot of run action type plays off of it.
What is the ceiling, last note on this game, for the Houston Texans defense?
Well, I thought they were the best in the league. You know, you could gauge it in a lot of different ways, takeaways, sacks, all that kind of stuff. I thought they were the most feared defense just because they had great players at every position, elite players at every position. It's the most stacked defense in the league. There's not a weakness that you can go after on that defense. And I think Will Anderson is a certifiable candidate to be the defensive player of the year.
My pick for defensive player of the year. The Texans, my pick to win the AFC. I just need C.J. Stroud. Can we be average this year? Just average. And I think that could get the Texans to the Super Bowl if the defense can be what Baldy and I think it is. Baldy's going to take the Bills. I'll take Houston to win a close game on Sunday. Next up, let's see, Baldy, just how improved the Cincinnati Bengals defense actually is as Joe Burrow and company welcome in the recently extended, that came out of nowhere, yep, Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Cincy, a 3.5-point favorite. Betting market expecting points in this game. Total sitting at 50.5. Baldy, what about the Bengals and the Bucs in Cincy?
I want to see if both defenses, I know obviously the spotlight's going to be on Joe Burrow and Baker Mayfield, and rightfully so. But if either one of those quarterbacks are going to be successful this year and get their team to the playoffs, the defenses have to get a lot better. Tampa's defense was not good last year. Maybe the addition of Reuben Bain, maybe the health, the contract of Vita Vea, maybe the health of Kalijah Kansi. Like, I could go through the whole thing. But they had to play a lot better defensively. Obviously, one of the great players in Bucs history, Levante David, retires. Like, I got to see what this defense looks like. And same thing with Cincinnati. We know Dexter Lawrence. We know all the additions. Like, how quickly can these defenses shut other teams down and affect quarterbacks? That's the first thing I want to see in this game. Which defense is better in the jungle on Sunday? And then I want to see, does Baker Mayfield, without Mike Evans and a lot of young receivers around him, does the passing game flourish? And can Bucky Irving get back to what we saw his rookie year? Now, it was not really fair last year. He got hurt. The offense line was banged up from the jump. But let's just see it if Bucky can get back to what he looked like his rookie year, which was a dynamic player at that position. That's a lot. That's a lot right there. Because Baker can't do it by himself. Joe Burrow can't do it by himself.
A lot of talk.
I am anxious to see Reuben Bain against both these tackles in Cincinnati, which are very, like, I love Zeus, but they're very vulnerable to very powerful, undersized guys. Like, that's their weakness. You know, Mims and Zeus, like, they're both 6'8". Like, a guy that's 6 foot out there and with power that Bain has, I'm anxious to see what he does.
And we did see Orlando Brown on, like, the first play of the preseason got beat, and Joe Burrow got sacked in game one of that preseason. A lot of talk, Baldy, this summer. Curious if you think it'll come to fruition and if you like it or not, that the Bengals, they're not going to abandon the shotgun. Joe Burrow likes to play, doesn't like to turn his back to the defense, would rather play in the shotgun. A lot made this summer of Cincinnati running more of a traditional under center offense. Do you think that will manifest itself when the games start coming up on Sunday? And if that's true, do you like it for Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Chase Brown in this offense?
I like it probably for every other quarterback in the league but Joe, because Joe just sees the field so good. He's so good pre-snap. He goes through progression so fast. Like, he knows where to go with the ball. And he's been very, very good when healthy. From a mechanical standpoint, being able to get the ball out of his hands, all that stuff. I understand that if he's in under center and there is more play action and they're allowing T and Jamar to get down the field, like on deeper routes and speedo route combinations, like that could be a big explosion in the offense. But Joe is so good. You know, what he did at LSU, what he's been doing at Cincinnati, there's really nobody else that sees the field quite like Joe. And so just because of how good he's been in the shotgun, I wouldn't be tampering with it too much.
I'm going to take the Bucks, Baldy, to win this game and upset the Bengals. And say, I want to see it with the Bengals defense before I believe it. So I'll take Tampa. Who do you like to win the game?
I like Cincinnati. I think, you know, what they have firepower-wise on offense is like it can be very, very good. And I think they've got enough on defense to kind of slow Tampa down. I like Joe Burrow in this team right now.
All right, now you are going to see that this is a show by sickos for sickos as it concerns the National Football League. Because, Baldy, I mean this. I can't wait to watch the Jaguars and the Browns on Sunday from Jacksonville. The Jags are 9-point favorites. Deshaun Watson's going to start at quarterback, at least to begin the year, for Cleveland. Total of the game is 40. But it's a big number for Jacksonville to be laying here in this game, Baldy, when the Browns, even with Myles Garrett now in L.A., I see good players at all three levels for the Browns defense. What about Cleveland and Jacksonville?
Well, vice versa. I see great players along the defensive front in Jacksonville. And Cleveland is – they had to replace five starters in the offensive line. It's a completely rebuilt offensive line. Deshaun Watson was not impressive in preseason. He wasn't impressive when I saw him in practice. When you're looking at Josh Hines-Allen and Trayvon Walker, like that might be as good a tandem of pass rushers as there is in football. They're very serious students about it. I love Campanile as a defensive coordinator. Like, I feel like this is Jacksonville's defense has a chance to, like, really keep Cleveland down. Like, I know they got these young players and all this kind of stuff in Cleveland, and I'm excited about KC Concepcion and Boston. I'm excited about it, Denzel Boston. But I feel like this front is – this offensive line of Cleveland is going to struggle against this Jacksonville front.
Can Travis Hunter be a legitimate – cornerback one this season for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
He's bigger and he probably learned a lot.
Because if he is, man, like, they could go to the Super Bowl if he's that good at corner.
I gotta see it. I gotta see it to believe it. He's going to get tested here by some of these guys this weekend. So I'm going to see him how he can he do all the things you got to be able to do. Tackle in space. Like, I don't have much doubt about his toughness or any of that kind of stuff. But I feel like he's at the right position. I feel like he's a cornerback one and receiver, however they need to help him on offense, second. Like, it looks like this is his position to be the starting left corner. Can he be, you know, can he be an elite player?
Like, can he be Surtain?
Can he be Surtain? Can he be what they have in Houston?
Stingley, like, yeah.
So that's what they're – that's what they drafted him to be.
Do you feel like the Jaguars will have success offensively against the Browns, Steve? Again, Jared Verse, Carson Schwechinger, Denzel Ward, good players at every level. Can the Browns defense hold down what was a high-powered Jaguars offense last year, the first year under Liam Cohen?
I remember talking to Tony Boselli before the draft, and I told him, I go, look, if I was you, I'd be looking at Emmanuel Pregnon at Oregon.
Well, it looks like he listened.
And he drafted him. So I hit him up when he drafted him. He goes, he was too good of a value to pass up, Baldy. Well, he had injury at guard, and here he is, you know, he's going to be starting. I want to see him, you know, against Mason inside, you know, in Cleveland, and how he does. They do have – Jared Verse is an awesome player.
It's a beast.
And he totally bought in to this trade. He actually is from Ohio. You know, like, he never for one second pouted, hung his head. His attitude going up against Spencer Freneau in practice every day, like, it's exactly what you hoped he could be. So I'm anxious to see Freneau out there and, you know, and all the guys up front right now in the matchups that they're going to see this weekend.
And I can't wait to see Bashaul Tootin, who we project to be the Jaguars' number one running back, and how their touches are going to be divvied up in the passing game with Parker Washington, who might get extended before Sunday, Brian Thomas Jr., and Jacoby Myers. Both of us will take the Jaguars to win?
Yes.
And with that, let's go to the game, Baldy, that you'll be on the national call of coming up on Sunday on radio with the Eagles hosting the Washington Commanders. Two new coordinators in Washington with David Bling Blau on offense and Durante Jones coming over from Minnesota on defense. Sean Mannion now calling the plays in Philly. A.J. Brown's now in New England. Big year for Jalen Hurts and this Eagles offense. What do you see with the Eagles and the Commanders?
Well, at the best side of the ball on both teams is the Eagles defense. That is potentially a dominant side of the football. Coached by Vic Fangio, I think the Commanders are going to be in a lot of trouble offensively. Now, I just happened to be there watching the play when it happened with Laramie Tunsil, you know, tore his pec. I think it was his pec. But, like, I saw it happen in real time, and I thought, that's their best player. That's their consistent and most and their best player and an irreplaceable player. Now, you can put Brandon Coleman out there. That's fine. Jaden Daniels knows how to elude pressure. But Nick Allegretti missed preseason with a bad calf. I guess he'll be back in there. Everybody's up. I don't believe right now in this Washington Commander offense, especially against Jalen Carter, who they just paid more money to play defensive tackle than anybody that's ever played this game, whether he's worth it or not. He has the ability to dominate the front. They've got depth on the defensive line. They've got great players across the board in the front seven. The two corners are very, very – three corners are awesome. Like, this is going to be a tough defense to penetrate if you're the Commanders right now.
Flip side, Eagles offense, game one with Sean Mannion now calling the plays against the Commanders defense that they tried to remake in free agency. Here's Adafe Owe. Here's Nick Cross. Here's Kalyvon Chaisson. Here's Tim Settle. Here's Sonny Styles in the draft. What about that Dan Quinn and Durante Jones defense up against Sean Mannion, Jalen Hurts, and this Eagles offense?
Well, I want to see what Saquon looks like in an offense 8 yards deep with the quarterback under center. He didn't play in that offense in Penn State, didn't play in that offense in the New York Giants, didn't play in that offense here in Philadelphia in 2 years. But I want to see what he looks like with a healthy offensive line. Now, it's the same starters as a year ago, but Landon Dickerson was never healthy last year. Cam Jurgens was never healthy. And Lane Johnson gave him half a year. Like, I want to see Saquon in this offense in the run game with a healthy offensive line. Like, I think Saquon could have great success. And, you know, they paid those guys in large part that you just mentioned, Owe and Chaisson and, you know, they you know, Manahu, they paid those guys in large part to get to the quarterback. But they're going to have to handle the left side of Malata and Dickerson and Saquon. I think it's going to be a handful for the Commanders. That you could look at the secondary. They look like they've got slot corners playing all over the place in the secondary, you know, whether it's Amik Robertson or, you know, Mike Sanristel, like they look like slot corners and they're forced to play on the outside. So I feel like I don't know when the rhythm is going to hit with this offense. It's going to hit. Jalen Hurts is just too good of a student. I think Sean Mannion, Chris Cooper, Parks Frazier, the quarterback coach, they're too good of teachers for this thing not to eventually get there. But for right now, I think they're going to be able to run the football starting on Sunday.
So Baldy likes the Eagles. I like the Eagles to win the game as well. Next up, you know, these two teams, great rivals in the 70s. We've played great games. I don't know how good this one will be. The Las Vegas Raiders host the Miami Dolphins. No Brock Bowers, which is a surprise, had a meniscus trim. Sounds like he went to the barber. Ridiculous. Michael Mayer will be the Raiders tight end. Kirk Cousins under center. First game for Malik Willis. First game for Jeff Hafley as Dolphins head coach. Baldy, what about the Raiders and the Dolphins in Vegas?
First of all, I like Jeff Hafley a lot. I've been down to Miami a couple times this year. Just listen to him talk. Like, he's everything he says makes sense. I think they got the right guy for the job. Now, they're going Caleb Douglas. They're going Chris Bell. They're starting rookies, starting Caden Proctor, left guard, starting Jacob Rodriguez. Like, they got rookies everywhere. It is a very thin roster. You know, they've got a great player in Devon Achan. I think the offensive line has a chance to be pretty good.
That left side should be good, right, with Proctor and Patrick Paul and Aaron Brewer. Like, I kind of think the Dolphins are a little better than people might expect. I'm not saying they're good.
No, I think they're going to be able to do certain things well. Like, look, you look at Malik Willis, you know, and what they have behind him right now. They, you know, they've got a total of six starts at quarterback. You know, I mean, it's very thin. But I think they're building it the right way. Chris Johnson, the cornerback from San Diego State. The Raiders, I got to see what firepower they have. I can't believe, like, I know Brock Bowers makes a difference. He's a game changer, but he's not there. Like, I don't know what receiver, Trey Tucker, like, I don't know what receiver, Jack Besh, scares you.
Jalen Naylor.
Like, what, you know, like, I know they're going to play action pass. I know they're going to, I guess Genty is up, but yeah. I really like Mike Washington Jr. begin with. Like, I think he's their best running back.
Wow.
So, I want to see, this could be a low scoring game where, you know, which team gets an explosive play out of the run game between Achan, Genty, Washington. Like, the explosive plays might come from the run game rather than the passing game right now. So you might get a 17-13 game, 14-10. Like, you might get a very low-scoring game here.
As crazy as it sounds, maybe it doesn't. I think the Dolphins are going to win. I think Malik Willis and Devon Achane, I think the Dolphins will run for 200-plus yards in this game. And my other prediction, I don't know if it's that bold, Max Crosby will be a Dallas Cowboy by the trade deadline, will be my prediction, once the Raiders fall out of contention. And let's just get it. Can Fernando Mendoza play? We don't have to answer that question now. We can move on. Okay. And we will move on, Baldy, to the Chargers and the Arizona Cardinals. Chargers, 9.5-point favorite, 47.5 the total in the game. It looks like, per a couple beat reporters, Josh Weinfuss reported on Friday, that Jeremiah Love will play for Arizona after the high ankle sprain in the preseason opener. So LA almost a 10-point favorite. Game one for Mike McDaniel running the offense, and also Chris O'Leary running the defense. Game one for Mike LaFleur as Cardinals head coach. Baldy, Chargers and Cardinals, what do you got?
I like the Chargers in the game flat, outright. This Arizona organization, like, they were horrible on defense last year. Yet, even though they make a change with Mike LaFleur, they keep Nick Raelis and actually add almost nothing to the defense via the draft or free agency. The only big addition to this team has been Jeremiah Love. Now, I'm sure he's going to make a difference. Like, he's a hell of a player. But I just don't see this defense. Like, I, you know, maybe some of these guys in their second or third year, Darius Robinson, pick a guy. Maybe they pop in the, you know.
Walter Nolan, Will Johnson. Walter, you can make the case that a lot of these guys that got hurt last year, now maybe that's the addition, that they're coming back. I'm playing devil's advocate.
We'll see. We'll see. But I feel like Mike McDaniel's, like, really his MO has always been the run game. And how he can get mismatches in the run game, how his motions and shifts can get you out of your gaps. I would expect that Amarian Hampton is going to have a good day. And I would think that they've got enough firepower. It's not the most, but I feel like Justin Herbert's going to be protected, which he wasn't last year. They fired their offensive line coach, offensive coordinator, as soon as they lost in the playoffs. Like, I feel like they've got a real offensive line coach. They got a real offensive coordinator right now. They're going to do some real game planning here. Like, I feel like this Chargers offense, despite the loss of Tyler Biadasz, which is huge at center, I still feel like they've got enough offensively, you know, to put up 24, 27 points against Arizona.
And I still don't know why the Commanders let Tyler Biadasz walk, but that can be a story for another time. So much talk, Baldy, and we understand why, right? On Mike McDaniel and this new look Chargers offense. What are your expectations for a relative unknown, maybe not to you, but to, I think, most football fans? Chris O'Leary takes over for Jesse Minter running the Chargers defense. What are your expectations for him in that unit in about 30 seconds?
Well, they've got great playmakers. You know, I mean, Darian Henley, like, you know, Derwin, Khalil Mack, like, you can go at any level, and they've got great players. They've got a lot of young corners that have been starting since their rookie year. Cam Hart, pick a guy. Like, they've got depth, and they've got talent. And it's just a question of, you know, how are they going to dial up pressures? How are they going to disguise defenses? What are they going to come after you? Those are the things that we don't know yet until you get to the game situations.
I like the Chargers to win the game. I think the Cardinals are going to be frisky this season. I don't think they're good, but I don't think they're as bad, Baldy, as most people think they do. Good skill position players. Brissett is competent. I'm a little more bullish on this defense maybe being okay this year. You like the Chargers? I know you like the Chargers to win. Can it be a close game, or you like them big?
No, I think they're going to go in there and they're going to wipe them up, be honest with you. Like, I just
fair enough.
Feel like the Chargers are going to be well coached. They're not going to beat themselves. Mike McDaniel is a great play caller. He is a great offensive mind. And so I just feel like it's a really good fit right there with the Chargers.
Two more games for us to hit week one NFL Sunday. NFC North showdown in Minnesota with the Vikings and the Packers. Game one for Kyler Murray as the Vikings starting quarterback. No Micah Parsons for Green Bay, probably until week six. Maybe more of a passing offense this year. You know, Marshawn Lloyd will be the number one running back on Sunday in Green Bay for Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love. Betting market has this basically, Baldy, as a pick 'em. So pick the winner of the game and why. Packers and Vikings in Minnesota.
I like the Vikings in this game. I like Kyler Murray in this offense. He's never played with an organization that is as sound as the Vikings are, with a play caller and head coach like Kevin O'Connell is, and with the talent that he has around him on the offensive line, at running back, and at receivers. It's stacked. And then, to lose Josh Jacobs, I mean, he was the foundation to the offense. Now, we got to see if maybe these running backs get a chance and they step up. The offense line should be pretty good. But defensively, when you lose Micah Parsons, they were 9-2-1 when he was starting and healthy and on his way to being the defensive player of the year last year. And then he went down, they collapsed. You lose Rashawn Gary, you lose a lot defensively. And you lose Jeff Hafley. And not to knock Jonathan Gannon, the new defensive coordinator, but I feel like they've lost a lot on defense. And I think this is a chance for Minnesota to gain some ground right away.
Vikings defense here, going to rely on a bunch of young players. Caleb Banks, the first round pick. We'll see if Jay Golday gets in there. They just brought Harrison Smith, who was like the ageless wonder, back. What about Minnesota's defense and your expectations in game one against Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love with Brian Flores pulling the strings?
They've got, Flores can coach defense. I have my doubts about Caleb Banks. I had doubts about him coming out of college. I had doubts watching him in preseason. They need him to be a monster, and he's not. But Golday looked good. He looks like he's going to fit in real good with this defense. They're just so it's a positionless solid defense. You know, where's Van Ginkel lining up? What's he asked to do? Ivan Pace Jr., you can pick a guy. This is a talented defense. I think it might take a little while before they can do the fundamental things of just stopping teams from running the football. Like, that's not their strength right now. They've got to get to that point, whether they've got to play a bear style of defense and cover everybody up, but they got to figure that out. That's going to be the one question mark about them.
I can't wait to watch Jordan Love and these receivers against the Brian Flores defense. I'll take the Minnesota Vikings to win the game as well. And last one, Baldy, Sunday Night Football in my neck of the woods, my New York Football Giants, 3-point home dogs against the Dallas Cowboys. Now, we know Tyler Smith, Dallas's best offensive lineman, on injured reserve, had an open competition at left tackle. We'll see about the right tackle, Terrence Steele or Broderick Jones. I like the Giants here in this game, Baldy. What say you, Cowboys and G-men?
Well, you just gave me three good reasons to like the Giants as well. Like, there's a reason why they traded for Broderick Jones. There's a reason why there was a competition at left tackle with Tyler Guyton. Tyler Smith is an earth mover. Him and Tyler Booker inside with Cooper Beebe, that was the foundation to this line a year ago, and why Javonte had a resurgence and a renaissance at running back. I've got real questions there. They've got a lot of new pieces on defense. They couldn't play man coverage last year. They couldn't play zone coverage last year. They tried to rebuild the defense once the season started with the trades. I want to see. I think they're going to be better. They'll be more cohesive. They'll tackle better. No doubt Caleb Downs will make a difference. But the Giants have a philosophy that they basically put in place day one with Harbaugh. We're going to be bigger, and we're going to be tougher than the opponents. They're bigger everywhere. CeCe Marinoa, Patrick Ricard, Tremaine Edmonds, Arvell Reese. Like, I want to see what these pass rushers do to an average set of tackles, no matter who's out there. Like, Brian Burns and Abdul Carter and Kayvon, they should eat. Now, if they can push the middle of that Giants defense out of the way and run the ball and do those things, okay, that is the weakness to this Giants team, is defensive tackle. But if DJ Reader gives them a good game and they can, like, cobble this thing together, I feel like the Giants are going to surprise a lot of people. It's going to start Sunday night right there at MetLife Stadium.
Last note on this game and last note for week one NFL Sunday. Jackson Dart in this Giants offense versus the new look Baldy Cowboys defense. We don't know if Malik Nabers is going to play, but we don't know how effective he's going to be. So it might be a little bit hard to handicap it, right? Because we don't know the effectiveness of their best receiver. What about Giants offense v. Cowboys defense in that specific matchup?
Well, I think they're going to be able to, Jackson's going to be able to turn around and hand it off to, you know, a Scataboo, Najee Harris, Tyrone Tracy, Devin Singletary. They're going to hand it off to a lot of good backs and big backs. That's going to be the foundation of what they do. I don't think we're going to see Jackson Dart running into the blue tent, running for his life. If Malik Nabers is 90 to 95% of what he was his rookie year, the passing game is going to be just fine. If he goes down or misses time or whatever, this thing could collapse in the passing game. They need him to be a star number one wide receiver. Because I think they got all the pieces around it, you know, whether it's Darnell Mooney or Odell Beckham or Isaiah, like they've got enough pieces there. They just need a real go-to guy. Just like we saw Mike Evans last night for San Francisco, they need him to be that type of player.
And it would be awesome as a Giants fan if Malachi Fields really grabs hold of that number two receiving job, you know, the third round pick out of Notre Dame. Who wins the game to close, Giants or Cowboys?
I like the Giants in this game outright. Like I think the Giants, this is going to be the most fun a Giant fan has had in a long time.
Oh, you know I'm a Giants fan, so you know I love to hear you say that. Baldy, safe travels to Philadelphia. Yep. I will talk to you on Monday with a recap of some of the big games that we watch on Sunday.
You got it, Nick. All the best, man. Enjoy it. It's going to be fun.
That does it for the Best Football Show, week one in the National Football League, the Friday edition of the show. Enjoy the games, everybody. Baldy and I will catch you on Monday here on the Best Football Show, presented by Odyssey.